their duties are different. They're running the universe, so they're devotees. They're doing service for the Lord. But the various rules aren't so applicable there. They're situated in goodness. They behave basically properly. And any anomalies aren't worried about there because they've gone there to enjoy. So being absorbed in enjoyment is not a fault in the heavenly planets. But at the same time, the heavenly planets aren't the place where you go back to God and come. Just as on the lower planets, the suffering and the other distractions are such that there's no interest in transcendence or religiosity. And in the heavenly planets, basically they have the fruit of religiosity, so therefore now they're enjoying it. So their principles would be the principles of enjoyment, not the principles of how to become religious. You understand? Human beings trying to be religious, that would get you a fruit. Once you have the fruit, what are you going to do with it? Right? You have dharma. Then when you get the fruit of it, artha, what do? Then it's come. Right? So the demigods are on the platform of having received that fruit, so now their position is that of the central tradition. Right? They do the job, their occupation, to manage the universe. But we see as for their sense gratification, there's no real reactions. Right? Normally, we get a little out of hand, that we see in good coincidence and wrong. But if they're staying within their own code of existence, you know, just like thieves amongst thieves, if they're honest amongst themselves, even though they're stealing, in their culture, you're a great God. Right? Does that make sense? So if the heavenly planets, then in their culture, then there's no problem. But that culture doesn't include becoming Krishna conscious. It's just not part of the program. Right? So therefore, Brahma is saying the human form is so much better because of this. Because in this form, then one can be aware of transcendence, one can be aware of religiosity. So now, here in these, we're dealing with also two forms here. Knowledge, religiosity, does perfect these two. To attain transcendental knowledge and religious perfection. So religious perfection, of course, is to be engaged in the service of the Lord fully, 24/7. But that is the transcendental platform. The soul is always engaged according to nature. Religion means according to one's nature. Now, if we take this nature, then what does that mean? In the spiritual world, then it has one definition, because the nature there is transcendental and will always be transcendental. The activities of the rasas there are always perfect. The material world, we're living with the same reflected rasas and activities in the spiritual world, not something different. So then, having that, then religious perfection here means what? Simply economics and such gratification, politics and economics, as mentioned in the previous verse. The very givenness of the planets is described in relation to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But instead of trying to understand the spiritual abode and the spiritual activities of the Lord, people are more interested in politics and economic developments. They hold many conventions, meetings, and discussions to solve the problems of this worldly situation, where they can remain only for a few years. But they are not interested in understanding the spiritual situation like in the world. If they are at all fortunate, they become interested in going back home, back to Godhead. But unless they understand the spiritual world, they rot in this material darkness continuously. So we always have to remember is that the Shastra speaks to the Karmi, the Jnani, the Yogi, and the Bhakti, the devotee, in the same verse, with the same meaning. It's just that we're getting more and more subtle in the application. So if we think about it, how much in our own life are we worried about politics and economic development? How much are we interested in the spiritual world? How it works, how it goes on? Right? How many conventions, meetings, and discussions do we have to solve our daily material problems? connected to Krishna, but is that actually our motive? We want to serve Krishna, but is that meeting actually, the agenda we have, is it actually to serve Krishna? So, therefore, these statements are all-encompassing. This is not for the dirty, grungy, stinking legend of Yama. It is for him. But this is Bhagavatam, the book for Paramahamsas. So that means the Paramahamsas are going to understand this in their own life. That they themselves are simply interested in economics and sense gratification. They're absorbed in politics. That's why the Bhagavatam many times is considered irrelevant amongst the so-called efficient modern man. I'm referring to the devotees, don't remember, I only talk about the devotees. It's irrelevant. Why? Because they cannot make this bridge. They cannot understand how this applies to them. As soon as it's negative, oh, it's the karma. And as soon as it's positive, yeah, that's where we're going. But I'm sitting in the middle in my own practical little kingdom created by myself. Which doesn't really have anything to do as much with Krishna as it should, and is more absorbed in the material energy than I want to admit. Therefore, so that one can take oneself from gross materialism up to perfect transcendental platform, you have to be able to accommodate everything in between. So this is a very strange dichotomy here, that the modern person, though he is always interested in making things practical, time, place, and circumstance, he absolutely has no ability to do that with God would create a system of spiritual development that didn't address the moment, didn't address the individual, doesn't address where you're at right now, because my situation is so unique. But that's fallacious. That's why devotees are unable to apply Bhagavatam in their day-to-day life. Right? Because Bhagavatam applies nicely from when you get up in the morning until after this class. And then after that, how do you apply Bhagavatam in your life? What are you doing? So therefore, this point of religion here means religion meaning the nature of the soul, but also the nature of the conditioned soul. That the conditioned soul also then has a nature. That itself has to be engaged in Krishna service. That is practical. That is taking, dealing with the individual. That is taking these things. So the very thing that is the most personal, dealing with the moment, trying to work it out for everybody so that everybody is happy, is Krishna's religious system, which is given in the Bhagavad. But that we ignore. Because we're too busy with our interventions, meetings, and discussions to solve the problems of this world. So, Brahmaji is pointing this out, that this is so perfect, this life, but if it's not used, it's wasted. We've always seen in the how Krishna's created everything. Everything has its perfection, and at the same time, as the other side of it, it's not so special. Right? We have out here again, these peacocks. Right? Everybody will glorify the beauty of the peacock. Right? Their attitude, you know, the way they carry themselves, the wonderfulness of the colors that are there, you know, when they display the feathers and all that. Have you ever looked at the back of the peacock when it's got its feathers up? Something special? Right? You just see a bunch of white sticks, you know, sticking out like that, a bunch of fluffy feathers, right? Nothing so special. You know, everything's like that. Everything, what is weak on one side is strong on the other. There's no such thing as something that's totally weak or something that's totally strong in the material system. It doesn't exist. is weak, then it has a strength. And where it has a strength, there will be weakness. But the man is strong. He's the one who can go out and lay waste to anything with his battle axe. It just takes a girl just flipping her hair, a little smile, and he takes it down. So everything is like that. So understanding this, then how do you deal with all this in a way to make it balanced that it works? And other than God's direction, how are you going to find it? You're going to sift through the perfection of 8,400,000 species of life. You're going to sift through all the perfection of the three modes of nature, of the eight elements, of the nine planets, of the 14 planetary systems, you know, the 27 nakshatras, the 60-year cycles, the yugas, the mahayugas, the kalpas. When do you have time for that? But, so therefore, with God's direction, then we can get all this. So therefore, it's said that the human life is the boat, but the boat needs a rudder, it needs direction. It needs, you know, so that's the spiritual master. He's the captain. He guides the boat. And the favorable winds, what makes the boat move, are the Vedic literatures, not something else. There's nothing else that is going to push your boat across the material ocean. Material knowledge will not do it. Material skill will not do it. It's the scriptures themselves. The scriptures deal with material knowledge. But if it's not connected to the scriptures, it's not blowing your boat across. You're staying in the same place. You're not moving. Because the material knowledge is connected to the shastra, and that shastra is connected to Krishna. Therefore, it works. You don't connect it to the shastra, it does not work. It can't work. How will it work? So the more that you understand these connections, the better your boat is moving. And the more you just leave it, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, or don't be fanatic or all that, the less it's moving. So Brahmaji is seeing this and pointing out that even in human life, what kind of human life he would like to be in. And that's a human life in which they have the proper, be situated in the devotional culture and are trying with body, mind, and words to go back to Godhead. Right? It doesn't mean everything else is taken care of. Right? As pointed out before, the devotee, all opulence, all needs come. They just come automatically. What Krishna is looking for is, why do we endeavor? We're not endeavoring to form a facility. We're endeavoring to express our affection for Him. That's why we're endeavoring. The materialists endeavor because they want the fruit. For the devotee, the fruit's already Krishna's. Therefore, our endeavor is simply to express our affection for Krishna. It looks the same. But it's different. Right? If Krishna's kindly made it, it's the same. Therefore, no matter what your consciousness are, if you're following the culture, you're following the religion, then you're getting some benefit. And as you improve your understanding, you improve your consciousness, you improve your transcendental knowledge, then you're getting more benefit. But to everybody else, it looks the same. Right? You're standing in Mangalarti. You could be thinking of all kinds of mundane things, but everyone would go, oh, he's at Mangalarti. Right? And then tomorrow, when you're in good consciousness, then you're thinking about the deities and all nice prayers to the deities, and then they'll look and they'll see, oh, he's at Mangalarti. Krishna's very kind. Therefore, the form of devotional service. Because no one is perfect at every moment, at every time, until you become so. When you are perfect, then it's always good. If you're not, everybody has their good day and their bad day. So how to make that work? Is everybody qualified to see through the coverings of what you're dealing with and understanding your motives? Right? How many people will get, you have somebody, he wants to do some nice service for Krishna, and in their perspective, it may not include many other people or many other aspects of the mission. They only see their service. And in doing their service, it steps all over your service. Right? So what are you going to see? This person is annoying. This person is nauseous. How many are going to see that, yes, it's a disturbance, but behind that, at least the reason that they are so annoying is they're trying to do something for Krishna, though they have absolutely no idea of the Vaishnava etiquette and culture, and how their service fits into the bigger service or into the Sankirtan. They think they're the only one doing the kirtan. The Sankirtan means a lot of people are doing different kirtan, and it all fits together. How many see like that? So if not many see like that, therefore that's why the form is important. You have the form, everybody sees it, then they go, nice. Because they're unable to accommodate your individual's advancement. Their own, yes, but anybody else, no. They can see themselves, I have trouble, I'm trying to advance, everybody should understand. But they don't apply that generosity generally to anyone else. Maybe to close family, close friends, even that can change. But advancement means you apply that to everybody. If you have a bad day, why doesn't someone else have a bad day? Therefore, take the form that's nice, deal with that, appreciate it. But even the forms that aren't nice, look at what's the motive behind it. Then it works. So all that's to point out that the innovative culture, then it's designed so the neophyte can follow it and the paramahamsa can follow it. They have a common ground, a common culture. Otherwise, why would the paramahamsa associate with the neophyte? Think about it. You think about it. Why should you be associated, get the association of the paramahamsa? You deserve it. But, you know, you got just the right balance of jealousy, envy, attachment, greed, you know, illusion and madness that you deserve to have that association. No. It's by the kindness. So what's going to make the common, what's going to make the commonality, right? You have to be friends, you have to have something in common. What's common between you and the paramahamsa? Right? What's common between you and the Uttamadhikara? What's between you and the Madhyamadhikara? Except for the Vedic culture, the Vedic etiquette. Where is the commonality? Okay, you chant Hare Krishna, okay, 16 rounds, 2 hours a day. What do you do with the rest of that? That's 22 hours of something else. Where's the commonality? Right. We're talking here not, okay, you can find, well, we're common here, we're common there, you know. We're, you know, both humans are both half forms and legs, you know. I got to get that to you, Johnny. There goes Mommy, that's it. Hey, we're going to be friends. This religious perfection. So religion connected to Krishna, that is perfection. Religion means the inherent nature of something. Connecting it to Krishna is perfection. Therefore, whatever the religion doesn't matter. Right? If it's connected to Krishna. Gajendra is following the elephant religion, is connecting it to Krishna. He becomes perfect. He's in his Bhagavad Gita. In other words, whatever is the inherent nature of the individual doesn't matter. It has to be connected to Krishna. But that point of connecting it, then other that's not practical. It's not individual. But all it is individual. All it is practical. In other words, religion is called irreligion. Irreligion is being made out to be religion. Don't be fooled by this. Absolutely don't be fooled. It sounds great. It's nice and cheery. But it's absolutely bogus. The result of it is they rot in this material darkness continues. That's the result. Right? And it's not just being driven to the karma. Doesn't say forever. Right? But you can really slow things down if one doesn't take this seriously. So the sooner we see that the spiritual master is working for our benefit, it's not a consideration of duality due to modern political and economic advantage, the position of guru. It's beyond that. The shastras are the favorable winds, nothing else is favorable. If it's connected to Krishna, to the shastras, then it also becomes favorable as an assistant to the Vedas. But if it's not connected, it is not favorable. All your life, get blue in the face, bring out your degrees, show your expertise in the material world, but it doesn't matter. You'll stay here and rock. You will. The material energy couldn't care less. Here, we think we're great movers of material energy. Maya is managing each and every one of your lives. The ant that's biting you now is the one that's supposed to be biting you. Right? What exactly happens to you is being managed by one person. One lady is managing it. And not just you, that ant also is being managed by her. So as far as material expertise and dealing with material energy, I think you could say she's the best. Can't get better than that. So what's to be proud of? Scholastic knowledge. No one knows more than Brahma, and he wants to be here. Right? The demigods want to be here. In all its imperfection, because it will give you transcendental knowledge and religious perfection. Moving the material energy, everybody else does that a lot better. Indra has a band, an orchestra, that plays for every day. It's got 1,000 instruments in it. Right? How many in the New York Philharmonic? 1,000. So, therefore, material perfection is already there in the heavenly planets and elsewhere. Human life is not meant for material perfection. It's meant for religious perfection. It's meant for transcendental knowledge. That's what it's meant for. Then, as good as you can do, the best you can, according to your nature and ability, you make that endeavor. But why? To please Krishna, not to please yourself. We may start from the platform, I'm pleasing myself, but it's got to come to the platform eventually with practice, by transcendental knowledge and trying to perfect religion, that it's actually for Krishna. Then that will grow into that complete disconnection of material energy and connection to Krishna. But it's connection. We're trying to disconnect ourselves from the material energy. Right? We don't say we're trying to disconnect ourselves from life. Right? So that means we become transcendental material energy. Right? Into the world. So that means we have to get into the spiritual world. So therefore it's saying, without knowing the spiritual, how are you going to get into it? Right? Because if you want to go to Krishna, where is Krishna? He's in the spiritual world. How are you going to get there if you can't accommodate the spiritual world? So that's why the Bhagavatam makes so many of these descriptions. These nice, lengthy, boring descriptions. Right? So that we know where we're going. As if they're telling you 5 minutes how to get from here to Calcutta, you go, wow, this is so boring. But if you don't listen, you're not getting to Calcutta. It's simple. Something is only boring that you're not interested in. If you're interested in, the most boring thing is ecstasy.
that simple.
You can't say this one thing is boring. Right? You know, football, right? You know, half the planet kills themselves, or the other half just thinks they're stupid. There's this one British, I don't know what they would be, one of the managers, you know, East India Company, for South India. And he had a good relation to one of the king's men. And so one day they entertained the king, then he thought, you know, he would show some of the Western sport. So he brought in two football teams. And they had their ball when they were kicking around and playing. And after watching the sports and all that, then the Englishman turned to the Indian king, said, "How did you like the sport?" He says, "Not so much. It seems to be a poor man's sport." He says, "Why a poor man's sport?" He says, "If I was running it, you got 22 guys running around out there, fighting over one ball." He says, "Give them all balls. You don't have money to buy balls for all of them." So, you know, and we say this is important. So then it's that, but someone else's standing is, you know, people die for the fashion world. Other people think, you know, it's stupid. People in the car, so others think that's ridiculous. So boring is simply if you have a value in it or not. If you have a value in it, it's not boring. If you don't have a value in it, it is boring. So therefore, whatever is not boring to you, connect to Krishna. And if something that's boring is connected to Krishna, you should really look at it, whether it should be continue to be classified as boring. So then, in conclusion, then this material means the dense Brahmaji is interested in human life because in it you can see things very clearly, right? When things are going nicely, it's not long until things go wrong. And things are going wrong, it's not long until they go nice. You get a balance. Heavenly planets, it's always nice to get puffed up. Lower planets, it's always bad, very hard to get confidence. Right? So that balance, one can see and one can therefore connect one's conditioned nature very nicely to Krishna. One can engage in devotional activities, connect one to Krishna. One can gain transcendental knowledge because there's an interest. Heavenly planets, they're not interested because why do they need to get out? Lower planets are not interested. They're too busy with their conferences and meetings trying to figure out how to make it less heaven. Right? But the human life is a balance. So they can appreciate the need for transcendence and the need to perfect their religion. Then it works very, very nicely. So this is what Brahmaji is asking. This is what Prabhupada has given us. This is Prabhupada's purpose. So this should be the endeavor. So if we can connect it to Krishna, then it's worthwhile. If it's not, it's useless. No matter how many people say it's right. Not true. truth that you ignore it and just say I'm being practical. It's not truth that, oh yes, I'm involved, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, I can never get it. That's also not true, because we're not that either. We're not the mode of ignorance. Truth is, I've done this, I thought this was right, I did it, I made an endeavor, better to endeavor than not endeavor, but it didn't work out. What didn't work out? Figure that out. Oh, that's what's gone wrong. Guru Sarva Shastra says I should do it like this, I did it like that. Change it. Then you learn from your mistakes. But otherwise, then, means there. See, there's some very intelligent people in the world, and they have observed this world, and they've come up with these really good phrases that become so much embedded in a culture, or either in a time, either in a small group in a time, or in a culture, or even across cultures. Right? Because sometimes the sayings of a particular language, they have the same thing in another language. Sometimes exactly the same, sometimes it's a little bit of a difference. You know? But that means this, the material wisdom, or how it works, has been seen. But still, that has to be connected to Krishna. Just getting to that point still is not far enough. Because the mind is always looking for an escape. The mind wants to be comfortable. The mind wants to be secure. So I've done something wrong, so I find out a phrase that will explain it, and then I'm done. I'm secure again. But one will, that's good. That's the first step. But unless you actually make the change, make the endeavor, or at least make the endeavor to make the change, then perfection won't come. We won't actually learn from the mistake. It's an intelligent way of covering it up. Other people do it emotionally, or a completely stupid way of covering it up. So this is culture. But still, it's a cover up. Right? So, it's practical. Don't be fanatic. You know, we learn from the mistakes. Where there's smoke, there's fire. All these different things, they're still not truth until they get connected to Krishna. There's still a cover up. Right? A meeting will be going on, there's a big problem. No one is comfortable with this problem. It's really a disturbance to everybody. Then someone comes up with some fat little phrase. Bang! It's sent to a subcommittee. Done. Wash your hands. It's over. And everyone goes back. Now I can be comfortable again. Because the living entity has to be comfortable. Sati ananda. The soul is ananda. It can't be unhappy. It can't be unconnected. Sat means it's connected. So anything that disconnects one from one's position, one's relation, anything, spiritually disturbs. So as soon as that thing gets put back in place, that false confidence may come up. But unless you do something with it, the wind doesn't blow, the boat doesn't move. Just that I figured out, oh, I didn't put up the sail. Okay, now it explains why the boat's not moving. Yeah, no problem. Hey, break up the ship. You know, great, but what about putting up the flag? You know, what about putting up the sail? You know, like that. So until the endeavor is made, it's not there. The endeavor to figure it out is part of it. That's knowledge. But the endeavor to actually apply it, that's what gives you realization. If I contemplate it, I'll get knowledge. But until I act with that knowledge, I will not get realization. And how long can someone work on knowledge with no realization? Knowledge is superficial. Realization has depth. It has meaning. It has value in your life. It creates understanding. It deepens relationships. Deepens everything. Knowledge is nice. I know how to deal with it. You know, okay, I have the knowledge. I know how to manage. I can deal with this. Like that. But what about the relationship with those people you're managing? What about the relationship between what you're managing and other parts of the mission? What about you and Krishna? That's what realization is. Knowledge is important. It's the first step. But until knowledge is taken and made practical, is applied, practical. And what does that mean? Start with subcommittee. And where it'll be buried, you'll never hear it again. You know, unless it's something really important, like chocolate, you know, or dogs, or soft drinks. These things, then they'll come up, and you'll have every meeting they'll come up. But if it's actually the depth of one's devotion to development and moving forward, reaching mission by deepening the realization and to come rapidly in the members of the mission, that doesn't even feature on anything. It's not an agenda anywhere. Oh, let's make your relations nice, but that's only just you and talk nice to each other or meet with each other. Oh, here are their problems. But to integrate them? To actually bring them up. How do you bring up someone that 30 years ago blew that was a big manager of the society? And if they came back today, they would be as good or better than anyone now because they were trained by Prabhupada. And they know what to do, what's being done. No, because they'll run over us, they'll take over. There's so much more power. Or, you know, justice. Oh, he did this then. Well, what are you doing? Right? How many cows died for you to make you, you know, bring you to 18 years old before you ran into Krishna consciousness? How many cows died to feed you so you became a devotee? Glorious? Not so. So, therefore, the question really comes is, do we want this knowledge? Do we want what Brahma talks about? Or do we just want to have some meetings and conferences to work out a little superficial so that the economics and the politics work well? And that's it. Right? Diplomacy is part. Human life means dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So artha is very much part. It's one quarter. But it's not 100%. So dealing with artha as one quarter of the existence, that's recommended. That's not thrown out. We're not, when speaking like this, I'm not throwing out politics and economics at all. But it's got to find its place. It's one quarter of human existence. Right? Dharma is another quarter. I don't hear that talk about it. Right? Except sannyasis are out. Except the yuga and the practical vihasis is called the yuga, so you are less. Brahmacharis also, you know, they should act like Sathya Yuga, but they're schmoes, so, you know, they're worse than Kali Yuga, you know, so they should just go get be real in America. So, how does it work? You know, so I'm talking about religion, means what is the inherent nature of myself right now? How does my intelligence work? How does my mind work? What does it need? What are my senses? How do they work? What does it need? What is my need socially? Spiritually, and, you know, intellectually, economically, sensually, what do I need? How to identify that? Because if I don't identify it, how do I connect it to Krishna? Can you come up with this lamp, you know, into the wall like that? What's a lamp? How do I plug it in? So this is just straight upfront logic. And this logic is very, very scary to a lot of people. A lot of people. And very scary. Because this is such a slap in the face to their own existence. But this is what the dynamism of Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness is wake up, know who you are. If you know who you are, then you can figure out who everybody else is. But until you know who you are, you can't understand other people. Therefore, you can't really understand the situation. Therefore, you can't really make it happen. Does that make sense? So, therefore, these methods that are used, these formulas that are used are good, are nice, because they give knowledge and they should generate action. But if they don't generate action and they don't continue through the connecting to Krishna, then they become useless. But, you know, the longest journey begins with the first step. Okay, but if you take one step and stop, then what's the use? But it was useful to get you to start. Therefore, nothing doesn't have a use in Krishna consciousness. But if it doesn't end up in practically being connected to Krishna, it is useless. That's why, you know, we can use the modern culture at the same time fraction. We can do the same with the Vedic. But the difference is in the Vedic, they're crashing the mentality. In the modern, they're crashing the mentality and the method. The Vedic method is perfect, but you can have mundane consciousness. So therefore, probably we speak a lot on it to make sure that no one makes that mistake. Just that I called it the form of Vedic, therefore it's perfect. No. Unless the mentality is right, it's also useless for going back to God. You want to stay nice in the material world, you want to be Indra, Brahma, then that's the way to go about it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then it's consciousness. Is that okay? So we'll stop here. We're over time. If anyone wants to continue with questions after, then after 5 minutes, we'll continue. Rajaraj Srimad Bhagavat.